In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning we heard Mark's gospel account, and it is fast-paced and urgent. In today's passage we find in just six verses Jesus' baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, and the start of his ministry, preaching the kingdom of God. For Mark, the message he wants to convey is exciting and it's urgent. It's happening now. These few verses are packed full of scriptural references and apocalyptic language to show the reader that this is a significant and world-changing moment. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens are not just opened, but torn or ripped apart. Here is the moment when the veil is removed between heaven and earth. God himself comes down and is beginning life-changing and world-transforming work. But such work is not without resistance and opposition. And firstly, we find this opposition in terms of spiritual battles, evil forces attacking Jesus and his wrestling with them during his time in the wilderness. And then we find the resistance in the form of earthly powers and authorities, as we see that John the Baptist has been arrested. The same Greek word is used to describe Jesus' own betrayal, arrest, and handing over. As the late theologian William Platcher said, what Jesus is beginning is the transformation of this world. That is why those in charge of this world as it was ended up killing him. The kingdom that Jesus has come to proclaim and inaugurate is controversial and confrontational. The kingdom comes up well over 100 times across the three synoptic gospels. It's absolutely central to Jesus' ministry and to the gospel, the good news. But ask any number of Christians what the kingdom is, and I suspect you'll get as many different answers. Jesus himself seemed to realize that it was not an easy concept to grasp. As we know, he explained it through many different stories and parables, as well as through the life he lived. Just in Mark, for example, we find, the kingdom of God is like a man who plants a tiny mustard seed, and it grows to become the largest of all plants, and all the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches. So too in Mark 10, Jesus says, let the little children come to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. And how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. We never quite get a decisive, this is the kingdom. So what facts can we establish about the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, that Jesus believed that it was happening there and then. In Mark, his words might be translated as the kingdom of God is at hand, or upon you, or has come near. This is also made clear by Jesus' words, the time is fulfilled, or the time is now. The Greek word used here is not chronos, which would refer to a period of time, but rather kairos, which refers to a significant or pivotal moment of time. Something is starting as Jesus begins his ministry. And generally, theologians understand this as a now and not yet kingdom. It's been started but has not come in all its fullness. Secondly, the kingdom is not simply about going to heaven when we die. This is a kingdom we are told is to come on earth, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer every week or every day. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. This is a kingdom we are to seek and to work for in the world today. Tom Wright says, In first century Christianity, what mattered was not people going from earth into God's kingdom in heaven. What mattered, and what Jesus taught his followers to pray, was that God's kingdom would come on earth as in heaven. And thirdly, the kingdom is about a very real change in ruler. According to Francis Chan, in the kingdom of God, Jesus came to re-establish the rule of God over creation. And this was demonstrated through Jesus' life, by his healings and exorcisms, as well as ultimately by his death and resurrection, as he overcame the ultimate forces of evil and oppression. This is God's kingdom of justice and peace and forgiveness and grace. A kingdom where God is back in control. And that's not to portray God as some sort of tyrannical dictator. God comes in humility and peace, and he breaks the hold of violence and death with his own sacrifice and love. Again, to quote Tom Wright, when God wants to change the world, he doesn't send in the tanks. He sends in the meek, the mourners, those who are hungry and thirsty for God's justice, the peacemakers. So we are all called to be part of this kingdom-building activity, each in our own small way. It's countercultural, but make no mistake, it is real. And it is powerful. So as we begin Lent, perhaps this is a good time for us to reflect on God's kingdom and on what it means for us today. Lent need not be 6 weeks of self-deprivation and self-loathing at what a terrible Christian I am. To repent is not simply about turning away from our sin and wrongdoing. It's about turning to the right direction, turning away from the kingdoms of the world towards God's kingdom. I read a nice image of this, that it's like being a ship, unfurling our sails to catch the Spirit's current and allowing it to move us in the direction in which God wants us to move. Perhaps Lent is a time to learn more about this kingdom of God and what it means for us today. To open our eyes to see the kingdom in our world and to work with God to bring it in all its fullness. Amen.